नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 6 टेक्स्ट नंबर 14। दिस चैप्टर इज द किलिंग ऑफ डीमन पूतना।
प्रतमानोपि तद्देहा पतमानोपि तद्देहा त्रिगव्योत अंतरद्रुमा चारणयाम आस राजेन्द्र चूर्णयाम चूर्णयामास राजेन्द्र महदासीत तद अद्भुता महत।
ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ओ किंग परीक्षित, व्हेन द जाइगेंटिक बॉडी ऑफ पूतना फेल टू द ग्राउंड, इट स्मैश्ड ऑल द ट्रीज विद इन अ लिमिट ऑफ 12 माइल्स। अपियरिंग इन अ जाइगेंटिक बॉडी, शी वॉज सर्टनली एक्स्ट्रॉर्डिनरी। पर्पोर्ट, बिकॉज ऑफ द ग्रीवियस हर्ट इम्पोज्ड अपॉन हर बाय कृष्णा सकिंग हर ब्रेस्ट, Putana, while dying, not only left the room but abandoned the village and fell down in the pasturing ground in her gigantic body. The description of Putana's falling and destroying, and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, while living she was destroying and while dying also she was destroying. She didn't give up her propensity to destroy. And we see in this whole entire chapter of killing Putana, Prabhupada explains in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, wherein Uddhava is remembering that how the refined gentlemen or cultured people always pick up good even in bad. And that is the Vedic concept. Vedic concept deals with two things. One is a sadhaka, however good he has to see how bad he has still. And when we are dealing with people like Putana, Krishna is able to see something good there also. This is a constant combined way to deal in this world. We see our scriptures go into great details wherein even the great devotees are caught in doing something, some mistakes. Not that it is highlighted, just like if you want to carve a beautiful deity, then you have to see defects to remove all those defects. You can't overlook, otherwise it will not become beautiful. And at the same time, when we are dealing with the principle of extending compassion, then we should be able to see good even in the most demonic people. This is the general rule practiced by those who are refined in culture. And therefore the scriptures explain that in this world there is not one thing which is fully good or fully bad. We are talking about the dual world, not the transcendental world. In the world of duality, even something which is called as very good will have some trace of faults. And something which is called as fully bad will have some trace of good. Snake poison. Now snake poison, recently in Wada they killed huge snake. It was raising its hoods also. Our Vasudev Prabhu was showing the video. They didn't shoot the killing, but they were shooting the snake. Very big snake. Now everyone knows snake means death. Prabhupada explains, when we see a snake, when we remember a snake, snake reminds us of death. But a snake poison also has a life-saving ingredient. If somebody is bitten by a snake, the very poison of that snake can save our life. So even within that poison, something has been kept. So in this way we see that Putana, what good she did, Prabhupada explains, she was not a devotee, neither she was a non-devotee, she was a demon. So there is another category. that being a non-devotee is in itself is a disqualification in regards to, you know, not functioning properly. What to speak of being a demon? She was consciously killing children. You can imagine what must have happened. One child getting killed in a village, like when you are driving, we had something happened in Mathura. When our bus party, our yatra was going on one bus, there was an accident. The entire village got to know within no time. No internet, no phone, nothing. You know, village system is, you don't know how it happens. Within no time, everybody gets to know something has happened in some family. So just imagine those times, Putana was killing hundreds of children. And she was taking pleasure and she was heading towards killing Krishna. So therefore, how can you see any good there? She's a vicious demon. She was trained to kill children and she took that mission as her goal life. And she was being quite successful and she would be rewarded for doing that. So it is impossible to see good in such personality. But here Krishna, the very person whom she came to kill, and she tried to kill also, but still Krishna is able to see good. And that's how we see that the Vaishnavas, the great cultured human beings, of course the Lord would do it. That's not a greatness of the Lord in one sense, because that's His quality. The quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like in the Bhagavatam, another very beautiful concept, where in 7th canto when Hiranyakashipu was killed, Prabhupada explains, again quoting Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Now Hiranyakashipu came down asking for this curse, that I would prefer forgetting Krishna for 3 lifetimes rather than remembering Krishna 7 lifetimes. He said, I want to go back early. So better I would prefer. In one sense, if you see, you know, he was more eager to go back. One could better choose the option of remembering Krishna all the time, whether 7 lifetime or 15 lifetime. So he chose a different calculation, that I want to go back to Godhead as early as possible. I don't mind forgetting 3 lifetimes Krishna. So when he came down, what kind of envy, what kind of hatred? Vishnu's name would cause so much of anger. And especially when his son was remembering Vishnu, again he fell into this trap of having affection for his son. We see that Hiranyakashipu was exhibiting that dual behavior, extreme degree of affection to the extent where he would smell the head of his son, he had tears in his eyes. Only that is what you are expected a father to do, that a baby child, however cruel the father is. You know, like Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya offered that prayer. However cruel the lion is, a lioness is towards other living entities, but when she sees her own cubs and she is very affectionate, that means there is that quality of being affectionate. While everyone what they see is simply cruelty. This is how the human beings, this is how the living entities are made of. We have both the nature, dual nature. Depending upon where we are situated, that comes out. And that's what Krishna is looking here. So, when Hiranyakashipu was exhibiting all kinds of vicious behavior, and ultimately was killed by Lord Vishnu, Lord Narasimhadev killed him. After killing, he went to sit on the throne of Hiranyakashipu. Now, what was that throne? That throne, you know, sitting on that throne, Hiranyakashipu had performed all kinds of sinful activities. Drinking the blood, not even liquor, drinking the blood of human beings, giving all kinds of order, doing all kinds of nasty things. So it is explained, when you want to invite some pure person, then you don't offer them any seat. Sometimes even these traditional sadhus, when they come, if they have to sit on something, they bring their own asan. Because asan is the beginning of yoga sadhana. Without asan, you know, you don't progress anywhere. So therefore they are very much conscious of bringing their asan. Asana is so important because that is the beginning. So, Lord Narsingdev went and sat on that throne. Why would he sit? One may say, he was sitting on that throne just to prove I am superior to you. Usually that's what happens. Somebody else is sitting on that throne and then everybody is trying to get that chair. And they go and sit to prove that I am better than you. I have removed you from that place. But Lord Narsingdev was sitting, or Acharya's explained, he was thinking that Hiranyakashipu, you must have forgotten who am I. Hiranyakashipu forgot that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, he is my master, he is my eternal Swami. So Hiranyakashipu forgot that, but Vishnu would not forget at any condition. So to reciprocate the seat which Hiranyakashipu made for himself, he said, I want to sit on this throne and give some credit to you. Now that is the consciousness. But at the same time, Lord Vishnu is not sentimental. Oh, after all, he is my devotee, whatever he does is good. We see in the entire Vedic range that this black and white is the greatest danger. It's very easy to make everything black and white. It sounds very practical, but the results are very dangerous. Therefore, the material life challenges us to, you know, go beyond this concept of black and white and see so many grey areas, so many shades. It's easier. Ye to chor hai. Ye to bahut achha hai. That's very easy to say, but life is not like that. People are not like that. Our judgment is also cannot be so black and white. So therefore here Putana, what good can you see? One who has killed hundreds of children. Not possible to see any good. But still Krishna is able to see good. Meanwhile, while giving punishment for her bad, it is not that he did not punish her. What kind of pain she must have gone through. You know, suddenly you come, you are healthy, and you don't expect to die. It is one thing to die slowly, being sick, getting old. You are looking for it. Okay, the old age is, when the old age sets in, then slowly, slowly the mind starts preparing. We prepare ourselves, others also prepare. Others prepare more than us. So, with a changing time, the mentality also changes. But when something happens abruptly, when you don't expect, that shock is very great. Like, just 3 days back, one of our very close friends, His Grace Nitai Prabhu, very dynamic. Some devotee was telling me, he wanted to show who this Nitai is. Some devotees didn't know. So he went into one site. And all the pictures what he saw was only pictures of smiling. And all the different pictures. That was his speciality. A smile. All the time smiling. Now and then he would call regularly. And yesterday morning we got to know that he left his body in a car crash. They were going from concert to concert doing book distribution. And it was least expected. Why would they expect that we are going to die now? They were sitting in their car about to in America, which is considered as the most safe country to drive. The truck crashed them from the side and instantly all of them died. This was like Maharaj trying to speak that people are not able to still live with that reality. This happened to this man. Only 32-year-old, and next day he was supposed to come to Nivrindavan to celebrate his wife's birthday. First was his wife's birthday. Very painful. Two of his friends, they left their bodies instantly. So something which is so shocking and so fast, it is difficult to reconcile. So Putana must have gone through such a massive pain. Because you don't expect. Anything happens when it is not expected, it is very painful. You go to some party. You expect to enjoy in that party. You expect people will treat you nicely. But even little, insult to you, that's very painful. Dhruva Maharaj, what he went through, it was worse than death. And Dhruva Maharaj was about to climb the lap of his father. What is the expectation? Climbing on the lap of your father is the expectation of there is pleasure. and opposite happened. And it was so painful. So just imagine that when you are going there to live and you die. And the process of dying, it is not so easy and simple. It is extremely painful. Even an old man who knows that he is going to die still is fearful of death. What to speak of young person, enterprising, very active, very dynamic. So Putana was very dynamic in regards to doing her mission to her master. So the whole process of getting killed by Krishna must have been extremely painful, and that's what she deserved also. We see here, Krishna did not only reward Putana. It is not that only rewarded her. Along with the reward, reward came afterwards. Golok did not come immediately. When did the Golok come? Only after she had to go through the extreme degree of pain. And this part, sometimes we forget. We only talk about, she got liberation. No, liberation does not come so easily. One has to go through that painful experience. If a non-devotee Putana has to go through this painful experience, and even a devotee has to go through the painful experience. In this material world, we see that life is like that. That while executing Krishna consciousness also, like we were discussing Bhishma Dev's life. Now Bhishma's life from very beginning till end was glorious, no doubt. But from a physical point of view, it was so painful. When we actually try to imagine, how will you imagine unless you experience what pain is? You go to an acupressurist or acupuncturist. Those needles are, they are nothing. Extremely simple needle. But you have seen still some people, when they prick that needle, they scream. Now injection, when it is pricked, you scream. Now this arrows of Arjun, Mahabharata explains, they were like, spears, they are javelin. They are going through and through of the body of Bhishma Dev. And must be extremely painful, and lying on the battlefield for almost 50 to 58 days, exposed to sun, heat and cold. It was winter season, December, and Kurukshetra is very cold. So when we see from that point of view also, it was not easy. And it is not easy. But even in that condition, Bhishma Dev kept his consciousness very alert in Krishna. So therefore, Krishna consciousness does not guarantee that life is very smooth. And that is the material civilization. It actually cheats us by saying that we will create a comfortable situation. And that's how we fall for it. Like somebody was mentioning that when a child starts walking, the first thing the parents do, they cover the child's foot with shoes. So the child never experiences what the ground is like. Never experiences. And that is the first thing the parents put the child in ignorance. Covered. So the whole material civilization is geared towards removing the real experience of life and trying to create artificial comfort. And when we fall to this artificial comfort, then our whole endeavor is to remove difficulties. And some difficulties cannot be removed. And when some difficulties we cannot remove, then what happens? Then we want to escape it. We run away from that. So therefore, duality is there for devotee, for non-devotee, for the demons also. Everybody has duality. The speciality of a devotee that he understands through the process of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And he tries to transcend, not escape. Again, the whole process of karma, another deceptive understanding, sometimes we have a superficial understanding that when we take to Krishna consciousness, we don't suffer. When we take to Krishna consciousness, there is no karma. Why there is no karma? We still have the lingerings of our old habits. Whenever some old movie song goes, we see, you know, brahmacharis also giggle. Because they come from that background. They know. Then if all the karma should have gone, first of all the gross karma should go away. All the memory of our previous activities should be removed. If the gross thing doesn't go, how can the subtle? Still the memories are there. But how do we handle those memories? That's what Krishna consciousness gives. A non-devotee cannot handle old memories. He's haunted by the old memories. But the devotee of Krishna, or one who is practicing Krishna consciousness, is haunted by the old memories. But by taking shelter of Krishna, he transcends that old memories. Therefore, we don't take to Krishna consciousness to escape our karma. We take to Krishna consciousness to transcend our karma. Transcending means what? That they will affect our life. Time to time, they will act. Our old conditioning, our old background will cause a problem to us. But what makes us better than others? Because Krishna is there. We were discussing this. In the mundane world, we see the smartas, those who talk about rules and regulation, they make people feel guilty. And the modern psychiatrists and psychologists make people feel shameless. And both are dangerous. Making you feel guilty, and if you break certain rules, then naturally people feel guilty. Oh, I broke this rule. I should have not broken this rule. Recently, one of our young man was telling me, he said in his college they were discussing about some kind of, you know, animalistic behavior. How this animalistic behavior is what we are made for. We have a natural instinct and we should live like that only. If you talk about rules and regulation, this is good, this is bad, then when somebody does bad according to this law of good and bad, then one goes to the concept of depression. Then he cannot function normally. So if they don't function normally, then what happens? Then they become a burden to the society. So usually what the psychiatrist and psychologist will say, actually there is no problem. Why do you call itself, this is wrong? This is not wrong, this is normal. Having desire to enjoy is normal. So if you have enjoyed it before right time, according to the laws, and you feel guilty, don't feel guilty. So they tell you to become shameless. So once you become shameless, they don't realize shamelessness is as sinful as feeling guilty. Our Vedic literature, like Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says, those who are ugly, those who are extremely poverty stricken, those who have a lot of legal implications, and those who have chronic disease, he said, this is the sign of sinful birth. Now it doesn't stop there. Usually what happens, we tend to discuss, you know, why one is sinful and what is his background. But Rupa Goswami is not talking about the problem, he is speaking about the solution. The problem is not emphasized, the solution is emphasized. Even if someone is born with this kind of background, he is saying, no, the solution is there. The process of Krishna consciousness is so powerful. Process of Krishna consciousness does not make us feel shameless, it makes us responsible. A mundane solution is what? That you become totally irresponsible. People have written, why get married? What is the point in getting married? Why? The Brahmanas created this concept of marriage. There is no need to have any marriage. You know, we are like animals only. So why not become complete animal? Why make that discrimination that this is the living room and this is the toilet, this is the bathroom, this is the kitchen? For that you need all kind of discrimination. But only what you cannot control, or you want to act totally animalistic, you want to act animalistic some part of your life, and sometime you want to be still human, and that is the problem of human beings. You can never become fully animal because you can't afford it. Nobody will bring you clothes also. A monkey can pass through and not think of cleaning oneself. A human being cannot think like that. He cannot be fully animal. So therefore, the rules are there not to make us feel guilty, but to make us responsible. And if we break the rule, then Krishna is there. Krishna is there if you break the rule. Krishna is there before breaking the rule. Krishna is there in between two also. And that is the difference between the regulated lifestyle governed by Krishna conscious principle. And lifestyle which is not governed by Krishna consciousness will lead us to guilty feeling, shamefulness. And a lifestyle which is not governed by any rules, not Krishna, the mundane life, will be governed by shamelessness. And this is danger. Therefore, here Putana, you know, some acharyas explained, she went through the guilt feeling. Oh, you know, I'm going to face the Supreme Lord now. She realized this is the person who is not my object of punishing him, but rather I will be killed by him. I am not his antaka, but he is going to finish me. So there was fear in her. And that was the beginning of her purification. And then when Krishna actually put his mouth in her breast, the Supreme Lord sucking, just imagine the energy. It is explained after Krishna sucked the breast of Putana, people glorify the daring of Yashoda Mai. Still she is feeding Krishna her milk. What is the experience? Are he can kill me also. Yashoda Mai could have thought that this child has the power to kill someone by simply sucking the breast. So they say, just see, that is the affection of Mother Yashoda, that she has seen it personally happening, that Krishna sucked her very life by sucking her breast. So Mother Yashoda should have not given any milk to Krishna. An experience. When you have a bad experience, then you don't want to do the same thing what others have done. But Yashoda Mai is still doing it. Why? Because she is beyond the concept of fear. She's not going by experience, she is going by feelings. That I want to still feed Krishna because Krishna is my child. So here Krishna, our acharyas, Uddhav is speaking that how Putana was killed by Krishna, but what did she get? She get the position of being mother in the spiritual world. So she had her bad side, but she also had her good side. So Krishna dealt with both. He gave punishment to the bad side and he gave the punishment to the good side also. If this is not a human behavior, somebody was saying, if you don't know the art of rewarding, then you don't punish. You can only punish if you can reward. And reward has to be greater than the punishment. Naturally. And that's what a living entity can progress. But if the reward is too much, punishment is not there. No, or you don't even consider this to be wrong. Like an example, that somebody making a mistake, living animalistic life, and you call it is not mistake, it is normal, it is okay, and if you try to reward them, reward is as abusive as punishment also. We cannot say reward is not abusive. Reward is also abusive. Why? Because when you reward somebody continuously, then they become irresponsible. And when they become irresponsible, like our Krishna Chandrabhu was telling me in America, you know, because in the school, there is no concept of punishment. And therefore, at the end of the school years, the children go to jail. 30% of American kids go to jail. So why not punish them before only? Because you abuse them by pampering. At the end of the day, life is not what we believe. The whole cosmos is built according to its own systems. And what is that system? The system of good and bad. The system of reward and punishment. The system of, you know, black and white. This is how it is created. Only in the spiritual world, the duality doesn't exist. Of course, there also duality does exist. But the duality exists there not to create a material duality, but to enhance the rasa. There is also distinction. There is also superior. There is also inferior. There is also fear. Prabhupada explains, in the spiritual also there is a fear of demons entering into Golok Vrindavan. But what does it do? It simply enhances the rasa. That distinction enhances rasa. Spiritual world is not, you know, sometime our understanding of spiritual world is everybody is equal. Everybody is equal is a confusing concept. Everybody cannot be equal even in the spiritual world. Even in the spiritual world, there is a hierarchy that we should know. When we go to Golok Vrindavan, it is not that that division does not exist. In fact, that division does exist in greater quality and quantity. Why? Because that creates a beautiful rasa. Otherwise, when we try to create, everybody is equal. Even every child, Shripad Madhvacharya, we celebrated his disappearance day. When he was teaching his teacher, he said, every snowflake is different from another snowflake. They are not equal. Our eyeballs are made differently from other eyeballs. Our fingerprints, they are made differently. So much of difference is there. But in this world, difference creates division and threat. Why? Because we do not have the culture. But in the spiritual world, difference is there, but that enhances the rasa, that expands. Therefore, those who are more and more refined, like we see when Prabhupada would eat chapati, and when we eat chapati, there is a big difference. We gobble chapati, right? When Prabhupada would eat chapati, he got to know this is freshly taken wheat from the field, and then just now they have, you know, made into flour, and now the chapati is made like that. There was a refineness of, even within that chapati, for ordinary person he can't find out which wheat it is. But for somebody who is very expert, he can make a distinction in that also. So that distinction is not the sign of, you know, this man is always looking, you know, what is good, what is bad. But doing like that shows the aesthetic sense in regards to eating. An animal cannot do that. Somebody like pig, we don't have to discuss. There is no ability to discriminate. But someone who is not a pig, he knows when to eat, what to eat, how to eat, what not to eat. You know, all that discrimination, what does it do? It enhances our taste. So when we become more and more discreet, more creates a distinction for the taste, for the sake of taste, for the sake of enjoyment, for the sake of rasa. From a materialistic point of view, what is this? How can they make discrimination? Prabhupada explains, when you try to create classless society, that is animalistic life. Wherever there is classless society, he said that is animalistic life. That is not possible to create a classless society. When you do it, that is animal. But to create classless society means healthy function. But in the present world, varnashram is so misunderstood. If you call somebody, this is Brahman. Even amongst devotees, what to speak of non-devotees? You can never, you know, try to deal with that. This is a Brahman Vaishnava. He has a Brahmanical tendency. And this devotee has a Shudra tendency. He said, wow, how can you call me Shudra? Even though you are calling him a Vaishnava Shudra, you know, still he will focus more on, or she will focus more on, you are calling me Shudra. What is more important? Vaishnava. But division is required so that the society can function properly. So we see, we also adapt, unfortunately, sometime the modern trend, you know, don't create any discrimination. And this is a challenge. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his book, he said, how varnashram should be created, how people should be warned, and they should be designated that you are a Shudra, you are a Brahmana, you are a Vaishya, you are a Kshatriya. But you can't do it. If you do it, then there is more psychiatric case. Because people assume that since I am a Vaishnava, that means I must be highest. You have to give initiation to everybody. you have to give Brahman initiation to everybody. So in this way, that we are forced by the modern trend of creating a classless society. And as long as the classless society is there, we cannot function properly. We can never grow. Because the spiritual world means a land of distinction, different kinds of flavor, different kinds of taste. And therefore only those who are qualified to understand this principle and practice Krishna consciousness, they are promoted to the spiritual world. Otherwise, we have to continue to live in this Kali Yuga mundane world where everybody of the same order. But again, even that order also, we see Chanakya Pandit explains, no gunas are pure. There is sattva raja, there is sattva tama, there is sattva sattva. Even among sattva guna, there are three gradation. And then you combine that into 3 into 3, 9, 9 into 3, 27. Now, Rupa Goswami or Jiva Goswami talks about hundreds varieties of bhakti. When we came to Krishna consciousness first, we were told, you know, bhakti is only one, ahituki apratyata. Now, amongst the bhakti also, this time Radhananda Maharaj kept on speaking about three kinds of bhakti in Vrindavan Yatra. Here also, bhakti in tamogun, bhakti in rajogun, bhakti in sattvagun. Prithu Maharaj represent bhakti in sattvagun. Dhruva Maharaj represent bhakti in rajogun. And Daksha Prajapati represent bhakti in tamogun. And we don't know what is our bhakti. How can we claim ourselves, my bhakti is pure Gaudiya bhakti? That is our philosophy. But where do I stand? Whether I stand Daksha's bhakti or Dhruva's bhakti or Prithu's bhakti. And according to Kapil Muni, all these three are not pure bhakti. What is pure bhakti? Pure bhakti has no flavor of any gunas. Just imagine how high that level is. We can discuss that. Therefore, Putana, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, Putana represents false guru. And what is the definition of a false guru? He says one definition is that the false guru, he instructs his student very high philosophy without they being qualified. If they are not qualified to instruct high philosophy, he said that is also sign of Putana Guru. And secondly, if they are qualified and not instructing them or not providing the facilities to instruct, that is also wrong. Or instructing someone when he is not qualified himself. The guru himself is not qualified instructing on the higher aspect of the philosophy of Vedic literature. They also fall into the category of Putana Bhakti. So we see how acharyas, for sadhakas they go deeper and deeper. That still there is a trace of anartha. And for the demons, they go deeper and deeper to find something good. So this is how they work. They work with sadhakas to find deeper anarthas, to remove all that trace. And to the demons, they go deeper to find something good. So one should not get confused. As Krishna can find some good in Putana, similarly Krishna can find some fault in Bhishma Dev and chastise him. And who is Bhishma Dev? He is Mahajan. When Krishna came to the battlefield of Kurukshetra to meet Bhishma Dev, and one thing Bhishma Dev was lamenting for doing what he did on the battlefield. What was his lamentation? Prabhupada writes that Bhishma Dev was lamenting for siding the Kurus and actually shooting against Krishna. He was repenting. And that is the sign of a devotee. And for that Krishna already punished him. When Arjuna was not willing to punish that beautiful sight of the Lord running down, it was not simply a drama. The drama was reality. You go and ask Bhishma Dev, was it a drama between you and Bhishma Krishna? It was a reality. When Krishna came down, he was angry on Bhishma Dev. He was angry on Arjuna also. Both are greatest devotees. And Krishna exhibited such an anger towards Arjuna. He said, you are not fighting, you still, after hearing all that Gita, Still you are considering on the bodily platform. Okay, you don't do the business, I will do now. He came running to kill Bhishma on the third day. And again on the ninth day. And Arjuna was trying to stop Krishna. He said, don't do it, I will do it. So the acharyas explain, Krishna means karshati iti Krishna. He was dragging Arjuna along with him. Then Arjuna was pleading. He said, don't break your promise. And Mahabharata explains, Krishna looked angrily towards Arjuna, didn't speak, came back to the chariot, grabbed his reins and took the chariot again so that Arjuna can learn his lesson. So we see that dealing with Lord, when Lord is dealing with his devotees, it is not all sweet and, you know, nice. Sometimes, many times, he gives his devotees also heavy chastisement. And that is life. And with demons, he also gives them, he sees that good and gives that also. As I said, unfortunately, we are trained in a culture where we are told to see things black and white. Good means all good. Or bad means all bad. But this is not Vedic culture. The Vedic culture is to see bad in good also and to see good in bad also. That's how life will be progressive. Otherwise, we'll remain sentimental. Like Prabhupada explains in the first canto in regards to Ashwatthama should be forgiven. That was Draupadi's principle. Bhima's principle is that he should be killed. Such a contrast behavior. Two same family members, you know, this is how conflict leads to, things leads to conflict. That Bhima is saying, finish him off. Draupadi is saying, forgive. It's a pole apart. And what to speak of, you know, when things are little here and there, my opinion does not match 80% with other opinion. It's a very violent conflict. Even if it is not matching 20%, there is a conflict. And how do you reconcile between these two conflicting opinion? She says, no, he should be forgiven. And Bhima saying, he should be killed. And Krishna told Arjuna, you deal with it. So Arjuna had to apply, and Prabhupada writes very beautifully, he said to reconcile two contradictory statements and contradictory situation is most challenging. But because Arjuna was a devotee, he was able to do it. He fulfilled Draupadi's desire, he fulfilled Bhima's desire also. And there is always an option. But who can do it? Only a devotee can do it. And only what kind of devotee? A devotee, one who understands what Krishna wants. He did not take Bhima's side, he did not take Draupadi's side. He took Bhima's side, he took Draupadi's side. He passed the test of Krishna. So that is how life is all about. So Putana here we see, you know, we can see from many aspects. I was thinking this is how one can understand that the material world is like that. War, good or bad, all depends upon. You know, peace, good or bad, all depends upon. Everything is depending upon the situation, surrounding, circumstance. Even the best of the thing could be dangerous at the wrong time. We are discussing in our retreat that something most auspicious done in the wrong time can lead to violence. That can lead to dangerous situation. Right. Even coming to the temple. If you come to the temple at the wrong time. I was asking this question to our children. You know, your mother is offering bhoga to the Lord. And she is delayed it for 3 hours. Which happens. And then your brother or sister is hungry. So offering bhoga the same 20 minutes, 40 minutes, is it right or wrong? Children said that is wrong, 100%. I said, very good. At least you know it. So offering is good, but offering in this way for that child is violent. And 11th canto Bhagavatam explains about this concept. So even the most wonderful thing done in the wrong time can create violence. And even the most violent thing done at the right time can create a civilization. Therefore, the Kurukshetra battle where lakhs of people were killed, it was done. It should not have happened. Krishna didn't want it to happen. Pandavas didn't want it to happen, but it happened. But because it happened in the right time, means the Kurus had to be implicated, they need to be punished. So when it happened at the right time, for next 90 years, there was a prosperous, flourishing Krishna conscious kingdom ruled by Yudhishthira Maharaj and Parikshit Maharaj also. So therefore, we see life is not black and white, even with scriptures. We need ability to apply. And the ability to apply comes from, Kaviraj Goswami explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when we receive special mercy of the Lord. He talks this in regards to Govinda crossing over Mahaprabhu. There he explains, there is no written policy, should I cross now or should I not cross now? But what happened? He thought. And how did he think? Because he was Krishna conscious. And therefore Prabhupada explains, somebody asked him, how do I do this? That time he didn't tell him, okay, I have written in my book. He said, Tesham satatuyuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami. He said, that intelligence has to come. It is not based upon simply opening the scripture and two opponent parties use the same guru, show their loyalty, but they have completely different opinion, just like Bhima and Draupadi. But for Bhima and Draupadi, there was somebody to reconcile, Krishna. But here, you know, people keep fighting forever, the orthodox and the liberal. Whether it is Christianity, whether it is Vaishnavism, whether it is Smartha, whether it is this or that, they'll continue to fight. Why? Because it's easier to take one side. But life is not like that. Life is how? The way Krishna is dealing with Putana, Krishna dealt with Bhishma, or the advanced devotees deal with different situations in life. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? You know, took to Krishna consciousness because of her son's enthusiasm. When she had a cancer, you know, usually people become very scared. She had a cancer almost same time as our Stoka Krishna Prabhu had. And many were suggesting her family members, you go through all the surgery. But she said, no, it has come to me and it was kind of unrepairable. So she stayed without going through any surgery all these years, almost like 10 years. And she was quite functional, doing her own thing. And just last few days she was with her daughter's place. And our Raghunath Charan was telling me yesterday only, she was very jovial, you know, had no fear of death. That means she had prepared. For 10 years, she got the facilities to prepare. And she was prepared for dying. She had no desires. And only desire was that her son should be nicely taken care, which is natural for a mother. He said, iske liye koi nahi hai, mere Harish ke liye. That's what she was telling. If he's taken nice care, I have no other fears in my life. He said she was very happy, very jovial. So, just even the most, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said actually, he said, bad health with Krishna consciousness is a better option than good health and complete forgetfulness of Krishna. She had a complete bad health, but she was still happy. And people, you know, they are most beautiful body, everything is there, but mind is so hell. They're suffering like anything. So she proved how Krishna consciousness works. She was not a big leader, she was not a big devotee, she was not a counselor, she did not come to temple so much. But picked up Krishna consciousness, became more serious with her cancer, took the cancer also as part of her life, didn't become threatened by it. And today on Ekadashi, very auspicious, tomorrow is Varadvadashi, she left her body. So rather we praying for her, she should be praying from the higher destination so that we can make advancement in the understanding of Krishna consciousness. Jai Radha Shalini Mataji ki, Jai Shila Prabhupada ki, Jai.